we have a special offer for Issues Etc. Reformation Club members. If you join or upgrade your membership in our monthly or annual giving program during January or February, we'll add the new Concordia Psalter to the list of current membership benefits. T-shirts, books, broadcast transcripts, and advertising for your confessional Lutheran congregation. You can find out the benefits of being an Issues Etc. confessor, apologist, reformer, or patron at issuesetc.org. Look for the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses. Or contact Craig, 618-223-8385, or Craig at issuesetc.org. Join or upgrade your membership in the Issues Etc. Reformation Club in January or February, and we'll send you the new Concordia Psalter along with your other premiums. The Issues Etc. Reformation Club.
I got a military-age male on a cell phone watching the convoy, over.
If you think he's reporting troop movement, you have a green light. Your call, over.
Maybe he's just calling his old lady.
He stepped off. Hold on, I got a woman and a kid 200 yards out moving towards the convoy. Her arms aren't swinging, she's carrying something. Yeah, she's got a grenade, she's got an RKG Russian grenade, she's saying to the kid.
You say a woman and a kid?
You got eyes on this, can you confirm?
Negative, your call.
They fry you if you're wrong.
That's a little bit of, well, what I take to be one of the tenser scenes in the latest blockbuster, American Sniper, telling the story of Chris Kyle, an American sniper who experienced war, I believe, four tours of duty in Iraq and Afghanistan. Now, the story in this film have been accused of being propagandistic, that is, pro-war, pro-America, pro-whatever. Is this true? And how well do they tell the story, especially for a Christian watching this, struggling with the issues of war, of killing, of serving your country by doing both? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. on this Thursday afternoon. It's the 29th of January. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to be reviewing the movies American Sniper. Also have a bit of conversation on another war movie, actually not just a war movie. It's a story of a man's life, Unbroken, and then The Imitation Game. Pastor Ted Giese will be our guest. A little bit later, Adrienne Dorr Heinz will join us. She has some advice for young Christian women. The best piece of advice I read in there, she's got a lot of good advice, but one is learn to say no. Why is that such good advice? We will find out a little bit later. Terry Mattingly will join us to talk about media coverage of religion and what has been called anti-journalism when it comes to the media ignoring religion out of fear for getting the story wrong. Then Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer, our weekly series, Christ in the Old Testament in Deuteronomy chapter 8, a prophet like yourself, that is like Moses, that God will raise up and the people will listen to him. They didn't listen much to Moses, but they will listen to him. That's Christ in the Old Testament in the last half hour of Issues Etc. Join us for the next 2 hours with questions or comments, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org. Send us a tweet, @IssuesETC. Or our beloved on-demand listeners, feel free to use the Issues Etc. comment line anytime you like, 618-223-8382, 618-223-8382. Pastor Ted Giese joins us to review the movie American Sniper. We'll also talk about Unbroken and The Imitation Game. He's a regular guest. He has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He's associate pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada. And he taught a course for Concordia Lutheran Seminary titled Christianity and the Movies, A Lutheran Approach to Media Consumption. Ted, welcome back.
Thanks, Todd.
I'm curious, as a native Canadian, you're watching this American film about an American soldier, American sniper. It has, at least in the States, been criticized as being propaganda. Did it strike you that way?
You know, I'm always thinking about this kind of stuff. It's kind of just in the back of your head whenever you're watching anything like this. You know, there are times where you're watching a movie. I can remember watching, there's like one of the Rocky movies, right, from I think it was like 1985 or something, Rocky IV, I believe, where he's fighting the Russian, you know, and you're watching that, and that's kind of propagandistic, right? Like that really rings like that. This movie, in my review, I'd said that it certainly doesn't have the kind of crass kind of patriotism that can be linked up to things like car dealership ads on a President's Day, things like that. I think that overall, like watching the film as it was unfolding, Clint Eastwood is maybe not the most politically correct director, but this film didn't come across to me as something that was super propagandistic. In fact, some of the things that made it feel less like propaganda was stuff like you never saw George W. Bush, you didn't see George Bush at all in the whole entire movie. Like, they never had him or Rumsfeld. You didn't have Colin Powell. You didn't have any of these people that people would associate with government and the Iraq War. You didn't see them. They weren't part of this movie. It was really just about one man and his struggle in the war and his life with his family. It just seemed to be paired right down to that.
Is it a war movie or is it something else?
I think it's a fairly unconventional war movie because often war movies don't focus as much on the family life. Now, I kind of still, watching it, would have liked more of that family life element of it, too. I found that was quite compelling. I think that overall it's kind of an unexpected film because you have moments you're going to expect in a war movie like this that the really tension-filled moments are going to be the moments when he's got his finger on the trigger and he has to decide if he's going to shoot somebody or not. And some of those moments are very, very tense and uncomfortable. But then you have also these moments where, you know, he's back home and he's just got his kid and he's his son, one of his kids with him, and he's at, a garage having work done on his car, and he gets recognized by another soldier. And I mean, he's a bit of a celebrity within the military. He gets recognized, and the guy comes over and, you know, says to the little boy, says, "Your father is a hero," and salutes him. And Chris Kyle, you know, being played by Bradley Cooper, is so uncomfortable in that moment. And he's uncomfortable for a pile of different reasons, and it's all kind of flooding over his face. And that's a really tense moment, too. And you're watching it, and you're like, you're sucked into what you're thinking his emotions would be in that moment. And that's what makes the movie unconventional, is that it's got these competing storylines working against each other and, you know, weaving in and out of each other. And because it's four tours of duty, he's there, then he's back, and he's there, and then he's back, and then he's there, and he's back. So that makes it quite interesting and compelling.
Talk a bit about the moral thread that you deal with immediately in your review of the movie American Sniper, this parable that's told in a flashback by Chris Kyle's father around the dinner table that kind of becomes the framework for the entire story in a way.
Yeah, it's just in brief, I guess, it's his father tells him that there's three different kinds of people in the world, sheep, wolves, and sheepdogs. And the idea is the sheep are the ones that prefer to believe that evil doesn't exist in the world and that if it ever darkened their doorstep, they wouldn't know how to protect themselves. And then the predators are the ones who use violence to prey on the weak, and they're the wolves. And really what he's trying to instill in his sons is that they ought to be the sheepdogs. And the way it's described in there is that they are people who are blessed with the gift of aggression and that they have this overpowering need to protect the flock. And that they're kind of this rare breed of men, people who confront the wolves. And this is really what drives him throughout the whole entire film. And he's one of these sheepdogs. In the Christian context, when we're thinking about that, we have the good shepherd and the sheep. You know, Christians are the sheep. The good shepherd is Christ. When we look at shepherds in Scripture, we see things like King David, and King David as a shepherd boy, he's driving away wolves and lions and protecting the sheep. So there's a whole pile of imagery and moments in Scripture that really focus in on this. But of course, you know, they don't talk about the sheepdogs, particularly in Scripture. This is a secular parable, but it does have resonance with what you find in Scripture, and also probably is part of that Christian milieu, right? It's part of borrowed capital of Christianity and Western culture from which this parable kind of springs forth.
What role does Christianity, if at all, play in American Sniper story?
From what I understand, because I haven't read this book, but I believe I was running across that there's maybe more quotations and more discussion about it in the book itself. It plays a part in this movie. It's maybe not as overt as you're going to find in the book. And again, Chris Kyle is definitely portrayed as a Christian fellow, but you know, maybe not super devout. You get these moments like at the very beginning of the movie, near the beginning, you get this scene with him as a child, like being in church. He also has a Bible that he actually stole out of the pew, and he's got it with him. He takes it with him into combat. You see like him putting it in his uniform. And to the point where there's even another character in the film, another person who he works with, who asks him about it, almost as though that little Bible is like maybe some kind of magic talisman or something. And it's one of those moments where I was just ready for him to say no and like start talking about Jesus with this guy, but that didn't quite happen. But definitely it's kind of permeates, you know, him as a character in the film. Another thought that really popped in my head, and you know, you only have so much room to write about these things in a review, but another thing that popped in my head, and it's something that Christians should be thinking about as they're watching a movie like this, is Romans chapter 13, which is your go-to section to look at government-related things. The soldiers are wearing, kind of worked right into their uniforms. It's been added on by them. This image of, it's from a comic book. It's called The Punisher, and it's this skull. But if people know comic books, they would know that skull as the Punisher, right? And here they are working in the vocation of soldier, and he particularly is protecting the rest of the soldiers by being a sniper. And it really kind of, you know, Romans chapter 13 just kind of starts popping into your head, the idea that government and authority goes to the head of the government and then goes down to those who fulfill the work. So, you know, it talks about, that the government is the servant of God, an avenger who carries out God's wrath on the wrongdoer. And over again in the course of the film, he talks about how these people that he is shooting are evil. They're wrongdoers. They're these wolves who are using violence against others. So these are the kinds of things that kind of like start to pop into your head as you're watching the film.
Another question on it real quickly before we take our break, and then we'll go on to talk about Unbroken and The Imitation Game. Is the film, you said it's not propagandistic, but is it a patriotic film?
I really thought that it was respectful. It was respectful of the sacrifice that soldiers make to go be part of any of these kind of military engagements. I think that it was definitely respectful also of the pain and suffering the families go through connected to it. And, like, there is some flag waving. I mean, that's to be expected. If people don't know, you know, tragically, Chris Kyle dies. They don't really cover all of that in the movie itself. It kind of is just kind of noted at the end of the film. But then they go to actual footage from his funeral, his public funeral, and that I would say would be very patriotic to an American. It definitely struck a chord with me, even though I'm not an American. And in that, they play taps, and then afterwards, as the credits roll, it's just silent. And that's going to resonate with a lot of people, too. So I think that there are elements of patriotism that can be taken from the movie. But it isn't also, I don't think, overall throughout the whole thing. It's not really knocking you over the head with it left, right, and center all the time. Because he's not a very politically correct character, and it's really portrayed as vocational work. He's doing a job. It's not imbued with like a lot of political stuff.
Pastor Ted Giese is our guest. We'll take a break on this Thursday afternoon, January the 29th. When we come back, we'll take up the subject of two other recent films he wanted to discuss: Unbroken, another movie involving a soldier, and then The Imitation Game. We'll be right back. Is dressing up to be there too, and we're gonna have a ball just like we always do. Saturday night at the movies, who cares what picture you see?
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and laypeople worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy publishes Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatics Series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up to receive their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com, and like them on Facebook, facebook.com/Luther Academy.
Hey, St. Louis, how would you like to achieve your fitness goals in a fun and supportive atmosphere? Hi, this is Kevin Reisick, owner and operator of Arch Fitness of East Alton, Illinois. We offer adult boot camps throughout the week. These camps include cardiovascular conditioning, muscular strength and endurance training, balance and coordination activities, and more. For more information, give me a call at 618-670-6952. Arch Fitness of East Alton, Illinois, 618-670-6952.
Where Christianity meets culture, you're listening to Issues Etc.
The Lord has gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation. These gifts can be received every week at both Grace Lutheran Church and Trinity Lutheran Church in Wichita, Kansas. Join us for divine services at Grace on Sundays at 8 a.m. and 4:30 p.m., as well as every Wednesday at 11 a.m., or at Trinity every Sunday at 11 a.m. Grace is located at 3310 East Pawnee and Trinity at 611 South Erie. Gather with us around our Lord and His giving His gifts to us. See you soon.
Martin Luther taught that the chief function of music and worship was the proclamation of the Word of God. With Heirs of the Reformation, Treasures of the Singing Church, you will hear over two centuries of Lutheran musical theology, beautifully performed and faithfully sung. For a limited time, save 10% on this 4-CD set when you use promotional code URA. Simply visit cph.org today. Lutheran thought, Lutheran substance, Lutheran music. Brought to you by Concordia Publishing House.
However dark the night, however dim our hopes.
And by 4 o'clock, well.
The light will always follow darkness.
Keep going the way you're going, you'll end up as a bum on the street. You train. You fight harder than those other guys, and you win. You can take it. You can make it. You can do this, Luke. You just gotta believe you can. Pop does.
Ma does. I do.
Louis, a moment of pain is worth a lifetime of glory.
We're gonna die out here.
We're not dying!
I hear a good news of that.
Who is the Olympic athlete? Don't look at me.
A little bit of the trailer from the recent film directed by Angelina Jolie, Unbroken, the story of another war hero, in this case, Louis Zamperini. We're going to be talking about that here in the last few minutes of our conversation with Pastor Ted Giese and The Imitation Game as well. Then Adrian Dorr-Heinz will talk about, well, what young women need to know, a few things that young women need to know. Give us a little synopsis of Unbroken, if you would, Ted, with just about a minute.
Yeah, Louis Zamperini, he's a. It tells the story of his part of his life, not his whole life. And he starts off as a young kid, and he ends up becoming an Olympian, participating in the Olympics for the Americans. And then he goes into World War II, and he's shot down in the South Pacific and is taken into a prisoner of war camp. And that really covers the rest of the film, and it's his struggles in the prisoner of war camp.
So how would you compare and contrast this with what we were talking about before the break, American Sniper?
Well, there's some things that I think are kind of interesting. Last week you guys had a interview about neo-paganism, which was very interesting. I listened to that last week. And in it, it kind of talked about interrupted Christianity, this kind of thing that happens in people's lives where they start off going to church and then they, you know, they kind of have these fits and starts along the way. And in both films, whether or not that is the case in their lives, both films kind of present their lives like this, both in, you know, Unbroken and American Sniper, because both movies have this scene at the beginning where as young people, like young boys, they're in church. And I'm always curious as to how church is portrayed in movies. And in both cases, it's during the sermon. That's the focus of their period of time in church. And in the movie Unbroken, it's a kind of a Roman Catholic setting, I believe, and the priest is actually preaching about Jesus being the light of the world. And that I was pretty surprised at. And plus, it was that particular bit of that sermon as it was presented in the movie was actually not bad. Like, there was some law and gospel going on in there, surprisingly. American Sniper, when Chris Kyle as a little boy is stealing the Bible out of the pew, the sermon, that's kind of maybe in the more, it's a definitely Protestant, it's probably maybe more like Methodist kind of a situation, and that's talking about St. Paul and him having sight, particularly coming after, I believe it was after his conversion. And then, of course, in the course of the film, a sniper having sight is very important, and seeing the true things in life and what you ought actually to be doing, like we would think of the Table of Duties in Luther's Small Catechism, for instance, that kind of thing is very interesting. So in both cases, they have that scene near the beginning of the movie as them and as a child, and it kind of informs the rest of the movie. It's almost like a little mini thesis statement. So that's kind of an interesting thing. But again, it's not a strong, consistent Christian kind of life that's portrayed throughout. And in the movie Unbroken, of course, apparently if people read the book, then, and you guys had a great thing with Terry Mattingly about this, It just stops short of like when the real kind of movement within his Christian life gets going with some real repentance and reconciliation and forgiveness between him and his captors and between him and his wife and things like that. So if people want to see that aspect of it, they're probably going to be better off to go read the books for both of these movies than to be finding it in the film itself. It seems like both films are kind of just streamlining and trying to make a simpler kind of telling of the story, but in the process, it kind of presents maybe more of a generic Christianity, if that kind of helps.
This war, we're not winning it. If you speak a word of what I'm about to show you, you will be executed for high treason.
It's beautiful. It's the greatest encryption device in history, and the Germans use it for all communications.
Everyone thinks Enigma is unbreakable.
Let me try, and we'll know for sure.
Mr. Turing, do you know how many died because of it?
I don't.
Three, while we've been having this conversation.
Gentlemen, meet
Mr. Turing.
We ought to work together, then. I'm afraid these men would only slow me down.
Popular at school, were you?
We're short on staff.
We get more staff, then. You have 6 minutes to complete the task.
Is that even possible?
No, it takes me 8. 5 minutes and 34 seconds.
You said to do it in under 6. What is it that we're really doing?
We're going to break an unbreakable Nazi code and win the war.
Oh.
There's a little bit of the trailer of The Imitation Game. How would you describe, Pastor Giese, how would you describe the story here, and especially, if you would, with about a minute or so, how it kind of parallels or doesn't parallel the two other movies we've discussed?
Well, this one is not on the front line. So this is set in World War II, and it's about Alan Turing, who is a British mathematician who's into codes. And he gets involved with the British government in trying to break that Enigma code, which was being used by the Nazis during World War II. So it really details his activities doing this. Now, one of the things that's very obvious watching this film is that Christianity does not play a big part. Like I just said that in the other two films that, you know, it's a pretty generic Christianity. In this film, there really isn't any Christianity to be seen. Like there's no big nods and tips along the way. In fact, there's a Russian secret agent spy in his group of people working on this code who uses a verse from scripture, "Seek and you'll find," as part of a code with his Russian counterparts. But that's almost it. And so now you got the Russian spy using scripture, but that's really about it, and he's using it as a code. In the trailer itself, you heard about, you know, he says, "We're losing this war," and his Benedict Cumberbatch is playing the character of Alan Turing. Well, in the movie itself, later on in the movie, there is a moment where they've successfully broken the code, and then Turing says, "God didn't win the war, we did." So that's one of the moments where God shows up in it. Even as central characters, Alan Turing is not portrayed as someone with, you know, a Christian faith at all. He may well have had that. I don't know. I haven't read the book that this movie is based on either. But there is one kind of thing that kind of connects all of these things together, and that's the difficulties that people involved in war have when it comes to their minds. And in both of the other ones, Unbroken and An American Sniper, it's kind of PTSD kind of stuff, or it's stuff kind of connected to that. In Imitation Game, it's not something brought on by the war itself, but the main character is on the autistic spectrum. It looks very much like he's got Asperger's syndrome, and that isn't used very. It's not used in the film in a way where it's addressed very specifically, but it is kind of used in the narrative to kind of engender a certain amount of sympathy towards the character, who it turns out also is a gay man, and then at the end of the film, he is chemically castrated by the British government. It talks about that and shows a little bit of the aftermath of that. So that's, if you're watching the trailers for that movie, for The Imitation Game, it doesn't really come out in the trailer that's what a good chunk of the movie is about. Is about him as this mathematician kind of genius behind the front lines working on this code breaking. So it gets really into that part of his life as well.
Pastor Ted Geese, he has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He's associate pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada. You can read his review of American Sniper at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Ted, thank you very much for being our guest.
Thank you.
When we come back, we're going to get some advice for young Christian women. One piece of advice that Adrian Dorhines is dishing out after the break is learn to say no. We'll find out why that's so important right after this. What if we made it clear to the Sunday morning visitor that Jesus is actually present, forgiving sins? I've written the second part of my essay, Lord's Day, Lord's House, Lord's Supper, and you can read it in the latest Issues Etc. journal. Just click the red subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. The Wittenberg Trail feature details Pastor Eric Rapp's journey from the New Age through Methodist Pietism to Confessional Lutheranism, the free online Issues Etc. journal.
Classical Education 101. The principles of classical education are time-tested teaching methods used in select public, private, and charter schools across the country and fast becoming the preferred method for all parents. What about classical Lutheran education? What are these time-tested methods? Come to St. Paul Lutheran School in Hamel, Illinois on Saturday, January 31st at 9 a.m. For more information, call 618-633-2209.
Your lifeline to the Lutheran worldview. You're listening to Issues Etc.
In Hosea 4, we read, "My people are destroyed by lack of knowledge." At the CLCC, we educate Lutherans on being Lutheran. The Confessional Lutherans for Christ's Commission treasure our Lutheran beliefs and think that all Christians would if they learned what we believe, teach, and confess. Visit our website at theclcc.org. See what we have to offer. Get on our mailing list, or better yet, join us and encourage your pastors to hold an event in your area. For more information, go to theclcc.org.
Steadfast Lutherans, people who believe the law condemns everyone and should be preached to the fullest. People who believe the gospel is for everyone and should be preached to its sweetest. Traditional Lutheran doctrine and practice deliver every Sunday this law and gospel, that Christ was crucified for us sinners. To all who received him, who believed in his name, the Gospel of John says, he gave the right to become children of God. To see how Steadfast Lutherans preserves this good news for everyone, visit steadfastlutherans.org.